You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're trying to help young men grow and mature in their faith. Gen Z, I got a question for you today. And the question is, are you living in hypocrisy? Are you a hypocrite? Are you pretending to be someone that you're not? I mean, listen to what happened to one of the biggest hypocrites that I've ever heard of. Bernard Madoff passed away in 2021. He was a former American stockbroker, entrepreneur, and investor. And briefly attending Brooklyn Law School, after he finished that, Bernie then founded the Wall Street firm in which he named after himself the Bernard L. Madoff Investment Securities, LLC. He served as the founder and the CEO of his company, which traded stock on Wall Street. So again, this guy graduates from Brooklyn Law School, starts off this new business, and Madoff's company started with just $5,000 back in 1960. But by December of 2008, it had reported earnings of over $65 billion. So talk about going from rags to riches, from $5,000 to over $65 billion. Now, as a member of the New York Stock Exchange, his business may be best known for developing the software which became the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is the second largest stock exchange in the world, second only to the New York Stock Exchange. So this guy's in deep, right? And Bernie Madoff seemed to have life by the tail. I mean, he had a beautiful wife. He had two faithful sons. He had extravagant houses. He had luxury cars. He even had yachts at his beckoning call. He was one of the richest men in all of the world. Bernie Madoff only had one glaring problem. He was a hypocrite. He was a liar, and he lived in spiritual darkness. And while claiming to be an honest businessman, he embezzled or stole the hard-earned money of thousands of investors. He was a charlatan. He was a fraud. He was a phony who had deceived his wife, he deceived his sons, and he deceived the New York Stock Exchange. He was the admitted operator of the largest Ponzi scheme in the history of the world. And so it all came out in December of 2008. He was actually turned in and caught by one of his sons. And lo and behold, he pleaded guilty of 11 federal felonies and admitted to turning his wealth management business into a massive Ponzi scheme that defrauded thousands of investors billions of dollars. And in 2009, he was sentenced to 150 years in prison, which was the maximum sentence. You know, Bernie may have started off with good intentions and with a desire to make an honest living, but at some point, his life began to commit serious crimes that was, he was really the artist of this financial deception. I mean, he may have started well, but he didn't end well. He claimed to be something that he wasn't, and so he really did live in spiritual darkness. What a disaster, right? You know, we all have made choices that have not been so good in our life, right? And we all got to make choices every day. And really, the choice that I'm asking you to make today, young man, is, are you living your life in the light, or are you living your life in the darkness? Are you living your life as a lie, or are you living the truth? Are you going to deceive yourself or to decide to walk in a close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, today, I can just encourage you that you can be a follower of the light. You don't have to follow in the darkness. And that's a little bit about what our text is about, is I want to do a two-part series just asking the question, are you a hypocrite? This is our first session together, and then our next show, we'll look at this same material as well. But 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 through 10 is where we're coming from. And this passage says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, wow, what a great passage here in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Let me just give you a little bit of a background to the book of 1 John. 1 John is written by the Apostle John, and the purpose of the book was actually to give assurance to true believers. It's not to make you cause yourself to doubt your salvation if you're truly saved. It's just to expose that you're not a true Christian if you're not living like a Christian. So the real purpose is to give assurance to true believers who were being confronted with the heresy of the early Gnostic way of thinking. Early Gnosticism was the idea that you could have special revelation from God that taught them that everything that's spiritual is pure, but everything that's physical is impure. And so somehow the Lord Jesus himself wasn't truly God. He was a demigod because he was in the flesh. And if he was in the flesh, then he couldn't have been totally pure. Part of that way of thinking also confounded new believers to make them think somehow the things they do physically might still be sinful, but spiritually they're okay. And so it caused all kinds of confusion in the early church. And so really the book of 1 John, again, written to expose unbelievers for their sin, and it was written again to confirm to true believers they're truly saved. And part of where we get that is from the theme verse of 1 John, which is chapter 5, verse 13, where he says, I write these things to you who believe. So part of the idea here is just the assurance of salvation. John's writing this so you may know that you have eternal life. And from the very beginning of the book of 1 John, he wanted to make it abundantly clear that he was a true Christian who had actually seen Christ in the flesh and wants his listeners to have fellowship with God and to have their joy made complete. In fact, if you want, you can just listen to the first four verses of 1 John that says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we've seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you may too have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And so again, in the context, he's already, you can tell, addressing Gnosticism because he's saying Jesus was real and he really was in the flesh and he really was the Son of God and he really is perfect because as the Son of God, he's equal with God. And so no one can ever tell them that Jesus somehow either A, was a figment of their imagination or B, somehow wasn't holy because he was in the flesh. And so John's making it clear. He's like, no, we've seen him. We have heard him. We've touched him. And so we're here to proclaim that to you, to anybody who has any doubts. And we're here to proclaim to you that you can have real fellowship with this real person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, the only way to have fellowship with God the Father is to have fellowship with Christ himself. And so that's what we read here in verse 5. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Listen, hypocrites like to try to go to the darkness and then they like to act like they're also in the light. And you just can't do it. You're either on one side or the other. And so when he says here that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, John is just making it abundantly clear that there is no two ways about this. You're either one or the other. And so this description of God as light really captures the essence of his nature and this is fundamental and you could say foundational to really the rest of the epistle. I mean, throughout the Bible, God and his glory are often described in terms of light. You know, for example, during the Exodus, God appeared to the Israelites in the form of light. It says in Exodus 13, 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. So we see in that passage there that God was a pillar of fire. He was light. And so when Moses even came down from Mount Sinai after meeting with the Lord, chapters later at the end of Exodus, verse 34, chapter 34, verse 29, you probably remember that Moses' face glowed with a reflection of God's light. That verse says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, and he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. And so there's a good picture of what it ought to look like. Somebody's in the light, God is light, then they shine like light. That's what Moses did. His face shone like light. And if you remember, the Apostle John was there at the Transfiguration when Jesus gave Peter, James, and John a glimpse of his full glory and manifested himself as light. Matthew 17, verse 2, the Mount of Transfiguration says, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Again, we're just establishing the point that if you're a hypocrite, you can't be halfway in the darkness and halfway in the light. It's got to be all light. God is light. Christ is light. Those who walk with him ought to also be walking in the light. Now, don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to continue on this theme of, are you a hypocrite?
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. And let me just say, this isn't a soft message. It's not supposed to be either. If this is the first time you've tuned into Way of Manhood, look, we're talking about the difference between walking in the light and hiding in the dark. That's the real dividing line. And if you feel the weight of that, let me say this, you should. This is not performance. It's not church lingo. This is about whether your life is real or not. And that's what young men need to be hearing more of. That's why Fortis Institute exists. We're not here to offer you spiritual entertainment. We're here to offer clarity. And if that's what you're after, real answers, real growth, then you need to be on Fortis Plus. If you have not downloaded Fortis Plus yet, I want to ask you what you're waiting for. It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you anything. New content uploaded and added every day. No paywalls, no gimmicks, just the kind of clarity that's going to cut through all of the noise that you hear everywhere else. You can get it right now wherever you download your apps, or you can go to FortisPlus.org. And if you're thinking long-term, if you're thinking about becoming the kind of man that leaves a legacy, then I want to also encourage you to check out the Master's University. Whether it's mechanical engineering or their counseling and theology tracks, Dr. Tyson and also one of our other fellows, Dr. Greg Gifford, are professors at the Master's University. What sets TMU apart is that they're not just teaching you what to think, they're showing you how to live it. All of the details are available right now at masters.edu/manhood. And hey, if this is part of your weekly rhythm, if Way of Manhood is part of your routine and Fortis is sharpening your thinking and strengthening your convictions, we want to ask you if you would consider joining us, locking arms with us, become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We've been at this for over 25 years, and Lord willing, we're nowhere near finished. But we can't do it without your support. We need men just like you. If your home and finances are in order, if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, then I want to ask you if you would visit FortisInstitute.org right now. See what it would look like for you to stand with us on an ongoing monthly basis. Just consider it. Pray about it. Talk to your spouse about it. All right, let's get back now to Dr. Adam Tyson. He's going to continue unpacking what it means to live in the light, not just talk about it. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we're talking about, are you a hypocrite? Because if you are, it means that you're partially in the darkness, and then at times you try to walk in the light, and we're establishing the fact you can't do both. Why? Because God is light, Christ is light, and he's calling you, young man, to walk in the light, in every area of your heart, and in every area of your thought life, and in everything you do. And Paul summarizes it for us in 2 Corinthians, that the spiritual significance of God is light, and really even the role of light in the Christian's life. I mean, listen to 2 Corinthians 4:4-6. It says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we just see it everywhere. God is light. Christ is light. The gospel is light. He's calling you to walk in the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, right? John 8:12. So what we're seeing here again in the Bible, in our passage, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, we see a clear contrast between light and darkness, between the message of Christ and the message of false teachers. And you do not have to make a decision about being in the light. If you're in the light, it's God calling you to light, and it's God working that in you, and you can't help but to be in the light. But if you're not a believer today, you're stepping out into darkness, and you're trying to play games with God. And you can't be playing games with God, because He knows. And so here in verse 5, we've seen John's claim that God is light, and now we see in verses 6 through 10 that we have to make a choice, right? Are we going to walk in the light, or are we going to walk in darkness? Just two parts we're going to look at, this show and next show. And the first show is, let's talk about the negative. Let's talk about what the scripture says about those who are not following the light, or they're not walking in the light. And let's just call this group followers of darkness. And we see the followers of darkness in verses 6, in verses 8, and in verse 10. So we're going to look at these three, and I'm going to give you three characteristics of those who are followers of darkness. Number one, they are of the darkness. Verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So again, the first characteristic are, you're just in the dark. I mean, the only way to have fellowship with God through Christ is to receive Him, to repent, and to be washed by the blood. And these people are saying that that's happened to them, but they're living in a whole different way. You know, it's kind of like those apps that are on your phone where you can track where you are going, where your friends are, where your parents are, where your kids are, where your spouse is. I mean, unfortunately, years ago, they had a counseling case with a woman who was committing adultery because she was telling her husband that she was at work, where he saw on the app on the phone, he tracked her to the guy's house. So obviously that was horrible, and she was living a hypocritical life, right? She was actually walking in the darkness. Again, those who do lie continually and unrepentantly, they don't practice the truth. You know, it's like what Jesus said to the Pharisees when He said that you are like your father, the devil. They are just simply in the darkness. That's the first characteristic. They're in the darkness. They're walking in the darkness. They're not really coming to follow God, because their true father is the devil. That's what Jesus said in John 8:43-47. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me, Jesus said. Which one of you convicts you of sin? I tell you the truth. Why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. So young man, Gen Z, if you're there and you're trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in the light, one foot in darkness and one foot in the church, you just can't do it. So let me just ask you, be honest with yourself. Are you in darkness? Are you a liar, or are you practicing the truth? When people try to hold you accountable, are you a truth teller? Because the first characteristic of someone who is a follower of darkness is that they are simply in the darkness. The second characteristic of someone who follows darkness is, not only are they in the darkness, but they are in deception. Listen to verse 8. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Again, who has the right to set the standard of right and wrong? God does, as the creator of the world. He has the right and the responsibility to tell us what is right and what is wrong. And he has done so throughout the Bible and even in the Ten Commandments and in every word in the New Testament as well. And some of us are so proud that we may think that we have not actually violated God's word. I mean, that was certainly true of the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. It says, "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life?'" And you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept, which ones do I still lack?" And Jesus said, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." When the young man heard about this, he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. Now, what's that passage talking about? It's talking about he's deceived. He's thinking that he's obeying everything that God's word says. You know, he gave him a couple of specific commandments, and the guy's like, "I've done it." And he's like, "Well, how about commandment number 10? Go sell everything that you have and then come follow me." Jesus knew exactly where this guy struggled the most, and it was with his materialism. And so the guy was really a hypocrite. You know, he was someone who thought he was a Christian, but he just wasn't. If he was a Christian, then he would have done what it is that Jesus said. And so I'm here to tell you today, young man, the way that you know if you're a Christian or not is, are you walking in the light or are you walking in darkness? And don't be prideful here thinking like, "Well, I'm a pretty good kid. I've done a lot of good things." You know, the Bible has made it clear we've all sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. And this is really one of the big problems that exists in our world today is people don't want to acknowledge what is sin. That's why I said earlier, God determines what's a sin. And so we got to submit to him. And so we got to understand that if you're telling lies, then you're not really walking in the truth. And if you're telling lies about where you've been, who you've been with, what you've been doing, then you're a liar. Because you're self-deceived and you're following the darkness and you are not following the light. And really what this leads to is the third characteristic of those who are followers of darkness. Remember, number one is they are in the darkness. Number two, they are in deception. And number three, they are in defamation. Defamation, verse 10. "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." So when I'm talking about defamation, that's the action of damaging the good reputation of someone else. And this is really the worst of all, because this verse says, if you say you have not sinned, then you make God a liar. How can you defame God? If you act like you're perfect and you act like the things you're doing are not sinful, even though God's word says it truly is, then you're making God out to be a liar. And in some ways, this is the worst sin of all. These false teachers are blaspheming God. They're calling God a liar. It kind of reminds me of what happened in the garden when the serpent said, "Did God really say, you know, you will not surely die?" Again, Satan is taking God's word and twisting them. And so when people say they have not sinned, when the Bible says they have, whether that's sexual immorality, homosexuality, pornography, materialism, lying about your whereabouts, it doesn't matter. When you say that you haven't sinned and you're saying that I'm not a sinner, then you're basically calling God a liar because you've been deceived. And you are then defaming the character of God, because what you should be doing is saying like, "Yeah, I struggle with sin. I need his help. I know I'm not righteous. I know I've fallen." And yet real sinners who don't want to turn don't do that, right? And so we have to understand that these characteristics of those following darkness, they deny the truth, they deceive themselves, and they blaspheme God. So let me ask you again, young man, are you living the truth? Or are you living a lie? What are the things in your life that right now you would be tempted to lie about? Do you have real accountability in your life with your parents, with your accountability people there at church and your college ministry and your youth ministry with your spouse if you're married? Are you being honest about where you are? Because I'm just here to tell you, in the light, there's no room for darkness. Let me pray for you, young man, that God would help you to walk in the light. God, we're thankful for today, and we pray that you would help every young man listening to this show today to just get real and to confess their sin and to realize that you can't have both darkness in the deeds of darkness and the light in the deeds of righteousness at the same time. So would you do a special work of grace, I pray, bringing people truly out of the darkness and into the light. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.